The second Sunday of Epiphany is a good time for us to think about what I mentioned to the kids this morning, spiritual gifts. Because when we think of Epiphany, we think of the gift that God gave to us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's pretty much what it's all about. Saint Sebastian has nothing to do with it, believe me. But anyway, we talk about spiritual gifts. And you know, as I sort through my debris, as we all do from time to time, I look at pictures and I try to remember who the people were in some of them. Do any of you have that problem? Who took this picture and who is this? And I ask Barbara, I said, do you know who this is? And she said, that's you. Oh! Well, no, not really. But I try to remember over the years, the number of people who gave me really wonderful spiritual gifts. And what I said to the kids is, right, people who do things and things that enrich your life, things that lift you up, and thank God for that person who managed to touch you and help you in some way. And I'm thinking back over the years, the number of ministers who were encouraging to me, who still are, and the number of people that I've known in churches like you who were encouraging in the same way to do and to be and to share and to celebrate life. And I think, my heavens, God, you've really provided some wonderful gifts over the years. And that's really what the scripture is all about this morning. Spiritual gifts. Things we take for granted. Things that we need to know. Things that we don't know. Gifts given to us via someone, via a something provided by God. How wonderful it is. When I was sitting there listening on Eagle's Wings, I remember one of the choirs over the years that sang it, and they were all flat. And I thought, oh, what a horrible hymn. Thank you for making it right, all of you. Open your Bibles. We're going to look at Corinthians. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And I can remember when we were on a tour and we came to Corinth, which is sort of a decrepit place, thinking about what it was like for those early Christians to be there and having a letter written by Paul and wondering what they thought. Because today's lesson is indeed about gifts. And you see that in your Bible. That's what it says, spiritual gifts. Not original, is it? Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Today's lesson about gifts, spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit, gifts given by God to build up the church, given for the common good of all. And most importantly, they reveal in all of this writing God's great love for humanity. That all of these gifts would be provided for you. Paul's writing the letter to the Corinthian Christians because of some troubling behavior in their community. If we read the entire letter in its sweep, it seems some of the Corinthians had put too big an emphasis on showy displays of spiritual gifts, particularly speaking in tongues. That's the thing that bothered Paul. And they were disrupting meetings with disorderly, spirit-inspired utterances that were not understood by absolutely anybody. It was just gibberish. But they were making a noise and upsetting the status of everybody else. Now in this letter, the letter in its entirety, Paul is seeking to bring this self-centered, disorderly worship under control. Now Paul's offering a pastoral plea to the community to remember why the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit that he mentions over and over again, the one Spirit, gives spiritual gifts in the first place. That is for the common good. Not to be a disruption, not to be some kind of a show-off, but for the common good. Gifts are meant to reveal God's love. Gifts are meant to reveal God's power. Gifts are meant to reveal God's fellowship with you and with one another. That's what it's all about. They're meant to reveal God, not become a cause for division or competition. That happens in a lot of churches. It happens in a lot of communities, in a lot of our world, where people want the focus, but they don't want the commitment. They want the show, but they don't want the celebration to go with it. I spoke at one time as chaplain for a Holiday Inn in Aruba. And every Saturday I would give an ecumenical sharing because they were having a trouble there in the casinos with suicide. And people who were losing big bucks were committing suicide. And the manager I knew through the Rotary Club said, can you come down and give an ecumenical, give a short time of worship where people can have time for prayer and sharing together. And I said, sure. So I did. I remember leading that worship service in Aruba over and over again. And I was benefiting from the tourists and the people who would come in because they were from not just the United States, but they were from South America as well. But they would come and I would have a meditation and a prayer and share a sacrament, the bread and the cup. Now, one particular occasion, the Saturday before Easter, and I think I've told some of you the story. A young woman came in, and there were about six people there, and some were from Ohio and New Jersey, and I forget where else. And she said, Dominee, which is the Dutch word for pastor, Domini, can I bring my friends in because it is Easter and we want to celebrate our Christ? I said, well, that's fine. Where are they from? And she said, Venezuela. I said, I don't speak Spanish. I don't. I said, un poquito. And she said, I'll translate. I nodded. I said, sure. Let them come in. Oh my gosh, that was the time before everybody thought there were riots going on in the world. And that little room would hold comfortably, probably at the extreme, maybe 50 at best. And 200 later, the majority all Spanish were there. The friend who was with me said, I don't think we're going to have enough bread for the communion, and let alone the wine. And I said, well, let's just let it go. It's too late now. So I said, welcome in the name of Christ. And she said in Spanish, welcome in the name of Christos. And I proceeded to do my meditation. I stopped, I would do it, and she would translate. I would do it, and she would translate. We finished. And then we did communion, which is always a blessing to me. And they came up, and I would take some bread, and dip it, and place it in their mouth. Now, we just had a little dinner bun. But do you know what God's great spiritual gift was? There was bread left over. There was bread left over on that little saucer from that dinner bun and all those people. I really was enriched. My friend was impressed. He said, you performed a miracle. I didn't know it was a miracle. God was in charge. I was the tool. Now, you know, not being a UN setting where language is always instantly translated by way of earphones, we were going as we went, a step at a time. But God was in charge. And the gifts of that moment were really an enrichment to me and probably to that whole hotel. When I said, Christ has risen, and she said, Christ is risen in Spanish, and they started singing Amen. And that's the same in English or Spanish. Amen. Amen. And you have a crowd of people doing that in a hotel, you think something bad's going on. And the security guard, who was not much of a security guard, came running, and he just joined in the singing. Our lesson speaks of tongues. Well, you know, that event that I shared in, and what Paul is talking about, were a special gift from the Holy Spirit, because I assumed her translation was accurate. I know the conclusion was. The event, the one I experienced, was for the common good, and God was glorified. God was in charge. God was praised. Anytime we use the gifts given to us, choir, mission emphasis, taking up the offering, sharing in the worship, praising God with the organ and the piano, Gloria, a gift to all of us and to her. We really enrich the body of Christ. We speak and act in ways that glorify Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is aiming to tell these Corinthians. This is what it's all about. And when you do this, when you do this, you're revealing God's love for the world. Amen. Thank you, God, for this day, for your love, and for this service. And thank you for the service we perform for Christ. Wherever we are, whatever we do, to you be the glory. Amen.